Hello and welcome to the Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga. And today we're discussing season 1, episode 6 of Scream Queens, entitled 7 Minutes in Hell.
Yeah. I actually almost thought they would say it this week because, like, it fit. Well, I mean, obviously they said 7 minutes in heaven, but I was like, I thought someone would be like, it's like we're 7 minutes in hell. But I'm glad they didn't.
Oh, God. That did so bad.
Yeah.
Although they did have a few campy moments.
Yeah, certainly.
So maybe it would have fit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it was a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Well, you can let Ryan Murphy know on Twitter.
No, I'm not one of those.
All right. Just again, spoiler warning. Also, we're using Skype, so if there are any technical difficulties, we're sorry. But hopefully, this will sound better than usual because of tech reasons. And yeah. All right.
Because so reasons.
What did
way
you?
Way to be eloquent, Dan. Yeah. Way to be eloquent.
What did you think of 7 Minutes in Hell?
I thought that it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot of great character moments. But at the same time, wouldn't really say it was that special. Like, I don't know. I had really built up expectations for this episode, considering last week we went into the Red Devil's lair, and we had all that movement on who's involved in the plot and who the Red Devils are, and
not
it almost felt like a step back for me.
Interesting. Interesting. See, I love this episode. I think this is potentially my favorite of the season, and I thought it was just by far, in my opinion, the funniest episode. I just was laughing almost throughout the entire thing. I especially really loved Chad in this episode. I can understand where you're coming from as far as the plot wasn't really moved forward, but I don't know that I really am watching the show for the plot, honestly. I'm watching it for, like, wackiness. And
that's true.
Like, as far as, like, I think that this show is much more successful at being a comedy than it is as far as being, like, a, because in order to care about a plot, I feel like I'm gonna have to care about the characters as actual people, and I don't really think of the characters as actual people. So I do think that they're, maybe you're right as far as they didn't reveal things necessarily in this episode, but I still felt like there were plenty of hints and things to think about. And so, yes, maybe not as quite as much progression happened, but I definitely have a lot I want to talk about as far as new developments.
Yes, I agree with you. There was, like, greater movement. Obviously, there were deaths.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I also very much agree with you that it was hilarious. Yeah. it really was very, very funny.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot. I paused several times to laugh, you know, the usual. Yeah, I just remember when we first started this podcast, and I was like, I think I'm going to have to watch this show passively.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm going to get super involved. And now I'm the one saying, like, nah, I'm holding it to this standard where I need it to actually do things for me. I don't need it, but in terms of excitement, now part of me wants that fulfilled too.
Yeah.
So, wow, how things change.
Yeah, it's interesting.
How interesting.
Because, I mean, I guess you're technically right. We went to the Red Devil's lair last week, but I didn't feel like anything was particularly crazy. Or, I mean, only really the Gigi reveal was the only, like, really big new thing to me last week. But I don't know. Well,
yeah.
Because I guess being in the lair to me is not even as big a moment as the fact that 3 people died in this week, and that, like, they died in actually fun ways again, which I hadn't really happened in a while.
Oh,
and,
yes, yeah. Fun. Absolutely fun, you freaking weirdo. What I was going to say was that we definitely had a lot of movement last week in terms of the relationships between characters, and that's another thing. Actually, no, let me rephrase that. Last week, we saw different relationships between characters, and this week they took a step to the earlier parts of the season and fleshed out storylines that they set up in the first 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah,
3 episodes, I would say. Yeah. So it was just kind of like, all right, we touched on it last week, let's go address other fan
definitely
things.
A very different episode, and I think this might be a good point just to throw out that we didn't have Denise, Pete, or Gigi, and that is part of what made it a very different episode. Especially with the big Gigi reveal last week that we weren't getting any more movement on that. But I honestly, I didn't, even though I agree with you that both Denise and Gigi are, like, really great characters. I wasn't missing them, personally, because I was just walking Chad and earmuffs, and Chanel was actually on point pretty well this episode, and...
Yeah. So... I didn't miss Denise or Gigi, even though they're two of my, like, favorites.
Yeah.
I actually didn't even really realize they were gone until the end.
Yeah.
So clearly I didn't miss them. But I did miss Pete.
Yeah, I've been missing Pete in general.
I really feel like in the first three episodes, even like, you know, half of the fourth episode, he was really good. And I really liked his character and the actor and everything that they were promising. And then last week, he was so disappointing. And we talked about that. And now not having him at all, except mentioned, like, yeah. Oh, he's somewhere else. I really want them to do more with Pete.
Yeah. And, of course, the implication is we're not seeing him this episode because he's involved, and we are seeing him, but he's in a Red Devil costume, and, I mean, I don't think we are, but, yeah, I know, I get what you're saying. I also do want to throw out, before we just completely move past, that I actually think it was a good move to not have Denise this episode, that last week, they almost went too far with her for me, like, it was a little bit too much, and that getting a break is probably a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely, like, as much as we loved her scene with Dean Munch, we hated her thing of how she abandoned Gigi, and then went, and then ran over, was out of breath, drank wine, ran back, like, ugh.
And just the obsessive about Zayday being the kill, like, all, you know, just a lot of repeats.
Oh, yeah, that too, I forgot about that. Yeah. So I'm glad that we could see Zayday on her own this episode, away from Denise.
And maybe
it was actually good. We actually saw Grace away from Wes and Pete.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. And now I believe her friendship with Zayday more.
I agree with you, except I do think this is, again, another episode where I don't think Grace is particularly strong. Yeah. And I think that they really aren't fulfilling that promise. On the flip side, I'm more happy with Chanel than I used to be. So, you get one step forward, one step back.
Yeah. So just a quick thing to address. In case you guys couldn't tell, we are going to be going in our recap and review by character.
Yeah.
So we're not going by storyline. We're not going by scene. We're going back to character.
We like to keep our listeners on their toes. And just wondering, is this going to be an episode where they go by character? And, you know,
I mean, I think it just lended itself more to going by character this episode.
Yeah. Funny, like, just a little side anecdote. I just went by character on my Girl Meets World podcast for the first time since the pilot. And someone was like, I really like when you go by character.
Ooh,
who knows? People like different things. But before we actually dive into the characters, I do want to just throw out the only thing I had under cinematic techniques this week, I just wanted to say, was I did like the opening montage with the voting and all the close-ups on everyone, and sort of I thought the music was really nice there, and all the, you know, the marbles falling through. It was just a fun opening sequence.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
I love the use of music in the show.
I do too. Oh, we'll get back to some of the music cues, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, that scene was really great. The opener. It was beautiful. It always surprises me when the show gets all art. I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe it's because quality-wise, my brain logically tells me this shouldn't be beautiful. And then every episode we're like, remember when they did this and this and this and how you just wanted to stare at it and appreciate it?
It actually is funny, though, that I generally this was one of the more toned down stylized episodes. From what I could tell, I was like feverishly taking notes, so maybe I missed some things here and there, but yeah, it was just a little bit more toned down. But not it didn't bother me, you know, not every episode has to be crazy.
No. You know what's weird? This episode is considered the third part of the Halloween trilogy.
Oh, is it?
Yes. I didn't... It didn't feel like it.
Wait, did we not already... No, we already got...
No.
Oh, you're right.
This is part three of their Halloween trilogy. Yeah. But
I wonder if there's an homage that we're missing or something, or, I completely forgot that it technically is still Halloween night, right? Because they never show
November. Well, I mean, they immediately are voting.
yeah.
in this episode.
Yeah, and they never go to daytime.
It's directly where the previous episode left off. But it feels like an entirely different story, you know. It doesn't feel like it.
Very true. All right, are you ready to get into the characters?
Yes. So, who are we starting with first?
Chanel, which is fitting, as she kind of is the main character, apparently. And
top build in the title sequence we didn't see again.
Yeah, that weird. Just strange. But yep. I really thought we were going to see it, but... All right, so I really liked the sort of the opening twist with Chanel, as far as we have this, again, or a repeat of what we were complaining about last week, as far as her just being kind of whiny and complaining about losing and sort of yelling at Chanel number 5 again, and then we have this twist. Do you want to talk about the twist?
Yeah, so she starts blaming Chanel number 5, and I'm rolling my eyes, and she storms off, and then Chanel number 3 and number 5, they go into the closet and they think they hear her crying, and then it turns out that she's laughing. She's capable of laughter. That's the entire twist. No, it isn't. The twist is she actually wanted Zayde to win. She didn't even want it to be a tie. She wanted it to be a win for Zayde. She was hoping one of the other Chanels would betray her, which I thought was really funny, too.
Yeah, so here, okay, so I am kind of two minds about this, because I definitely like this and think it's better move for her character, that she is smarter and that she has a bigger plan and isn't just being whiny and is actually sort of taking control. Right. At the same time, I don't know that I buy that if I went back and watched the other episodes that would be too totally believable, but I also don't really care because I'd prefer this, you know, direction, but...
Yeah, so do I. I was really getting sick of her screamy scenes with number 5 and whining and everything.
Yeah.
So
I don't want this character to be whiny.
I mean, she still is whiny.
Yeah, but
I don't believe
but
her.
I don't want her to just be
exactly,
whiny.
Exactly. So I'm happy that she's capable of more than that. And of course, she has a few really snippy one-liners in there again. And even when she says, like, "Oh, I meant everything I said about you, number 5," like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not coming from nowhere. That wasn't a completely staged scene. But I love her thing of, like, I learned something from those mafia documentaries on, like, A&E.
Yeah, yeah. I almost wonder, actually, thinking back, do you think she sent number 5 and Roger and Dodger to the pumpkin patch hoping that the Red Devil would attack them so that a pumpkin patch would get canceled?
Oh.
I mean, that's a really overly complicated, but who knows with a show like this.
I think she knew that it would be attacked.
Yeah.
But, and she made it clear in this how, in this scene, how she's like, I'm going to be the last one standing.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, no, she said, I'm going to be the last one to die.
Yeah, which is a funny way to put it.
that to me was a huge red flag, like, so you're going to be the last one to die?
Mm.
Like, you are going to die, and then there will be a different final person? Interesting. What if that's actually what we see?
I guess that could be. I think it was just a strange turn of phrase for her, just being like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to at least be the last one. Like,
yeah, I mean, I saw it as her thinking that means that I survive.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, so you're going to be the Red Devil's last victim, maybe. Or we're going to think you are going to be, and then you're going to end up being okay. So maybe in the finale, we're actually going to see it coming very close to her dying. Because is she going to be in season 2? I don't know.
I don't think anyone's confirmed.
Right, because that would probably be a spoiler.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even necessarily have a season 2 confirmation, I don't think.
Right, I made a mistake. I thought it was, I was thinking, I found out about a different show. That got, like, a season 2 confirmation straight out of the bat, basically.
Yeah, and I have to go, and I haven't checked up on the ratings in a while. I wonder how we're doing. I hope we get a season 2.
I hope so, too. I'm curious as to how this will go.
I do think it's worth pointing out that she says, and her whole thought process here with wanting Zayde to be the president, is that being the president of Capitao puts a big target on your back. Except that he hasn't really been targeted that much I mean, she technically, I mean, I suppose you could say there was that scene that we're supposed to believe that happened where the Red Devil jumped in and she, like, fought him off. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I mean, the only other thing I can think of is that the killer wanted her to kill Mrs. Bean, which I guess that's her targeting her, but in some ways it seems like the Red Devil might be saving her for last anyway.
I mean, Mrs. Bean helped in the cover-up of the bathtub baby. That's another storyline we haven't really actually seen any movement on.
Yeah, that's true.
And now two episodes, because it was completely dropped last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see how the baby, if they knew that Mrs. Bean worked at the house still when this happened and helped in the cover-up, that they would want Mrs. Bean gone and then be like, oh, Chanel, but she represents everything that's wrong about Kappa, so if she dies, that'd be great.
A lot of the killings seem almost random to me.
They do.
Like, much more than in something like MTV Scream or even just most slashers, because I think they're usually based around a clear core event and a specific person. And here, like, yes, I mean, like, people like Mandy and Mrs. Bean, like, they make sense. And obviously, like, they weren't actually going after Gigi. And I can even maybe say, like, Coney, like, oh, they were annoyed by Coney, sure. But
the pride was...
But I just don't understand why you go after Roger. Like, why do you go after Roger and Dodger and Denise's friend before you, and Caulfield, before you just actually go after the sisters themselves? Like,
yeah,
very few of the sisters have actually been, like, directly targeted. Grace hasn't been, like, Chanel hasn't really been.
It's more of an opportunistic killer than it is a logical message killer. But again, we kind of have two killers with potentially Gigi as their ringleader.
Yeah.
And she might just be like, oh, you're a psychopath, go wreak havoc. And then the other one being like, but make sure you kill these people.
Yeah, maybe cause confusion so people can't figure out who it is by killing off. I mean, and I think that part of it is also just, you know, if you want to think about the show itself, is just they're not wanting to kill off big people all the time. But
as with anything.
Yeah, I just hope they find a logical way to sort of explain that away.
I hope so, too. I am starting to believe that the writers can be trusted with this.
Smarter than, like, I give them credit for.
Definitely. Yeah. Like, nobody's perfect. No show is perfect. Yeah. But I am starting to feel more comfortable with the idea that something, that it will resolve. Like, that all of these questions that we have will resolve in a reasonable, logical way, if not, like, a timely way.
Well, now, let me ask you something. You're an American Horror Story person. Do you feel like these people are good at tying up loose ends, giving you satisfactory conclusions to seasons, and explaining away their mysteries, and...
Oh, Dan, why'd you have to ask me that? Oh, God, if it was, like, 2 years ago, I would have said yes. But this season of American Horror Story is really good.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm going to say yes.
I mean, I saw season one. I liked season one. I think they generally explained things well. I didn't feel like there was a lot of, like, confusion by the end of it. I do think that the actual ending was maybe a little lackluster, but at least I didn't feel like they didn't know where they were going, or like everything made sense to me.
Okay, I do believe that they know where they're going.
Yeah.
Addressing every question all the time. Maybe not fully reasonable. That's the thing where I was telling, like, I don't know if I trust them to get back to this.
Yeah.
In American Horror Story, they don't always get back to this.
Yeah.
So far in Scream Queens, they are getting back to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, again, we were tricked into thinking, again, we're going to be having this annoying shit with Chanel and number five and being, like, whiny about Zayday and blah, blah, blah. No. We were subvert, like, our expectations were subverted. I love it.
Yeah,
I am now so on board. What happened to this show that now I can do this? I have done a 180 from the premiere, which makes me think now more than ever that people who rate the premiere as a very high episode are absolutely wrong.
I mean, I think it definitely had flash, and I understand liking the, like, thinking it was crazy and different and flashy, but as far as, like, the characters go and everything. Definitely not the height of the show. I'm going to try to move us along a little bit with Chanel.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I got really excited.
Yeah, no, it's fine. No, I mean, I went off on some tangents too. But I did like her announcing Zayday as the president, saying Zayday something. She didn't know her last name.
I didn't like that.
You didn't?
I thought no, that was funny. I mean, it was with her character, but yeah. I was just like, it was just a weird way to end the scene.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, high note, down note. Okay. I don't know. I didn't mind I liked it. It was just like, eh.
Yeah. I did want to just throw in, so we are, you know, we're focusing on the character. I just want to throw in that as far as for Chanel goes, she just had the repeated jokes about spin the bottle and why are we doing this, which, I mean, I think we're necessary to some degree in oh, that, yeah. like, you needed someone calling out how this was a strange thing for anyone other than earmuffs and Sam to be wanting to do.
Right.
And
no, I definitely like that. And it was definitely the rule of threes with that, where it's yeah. like, but really, though, why? I thought it was great timing. I like it when they give Chanel, like, where she's not the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
She's producing the joke. And the joke isn't something racist.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the joke isn't her. Yeah. When most of the racist stuff, it's she's the butt of the joke because she's so ignorant.
Mm.
But yeah. this was her being funny, and it was great.
Yeah, I agree. And it was just like. It was just, like, her not I like her more not necessarily the ringleader point of view or, like, the just being, like, a side person who's being like, what the heck is going on? Like,
yeah. yeah. It gives us an aspect to her that we haven't seen before. Yeah.
I also enjoyed... So this episode did a few... They kind of went out of their way to explain, like... horror things in a way that the show doesn't always do, which I appreciate. Things like, oh, the killer must have knocked down a cell phone tower. I'm the only one who has a phone that works because it's a satellite phone. And then Chad throws that away, and so we have no phone.
'Cause he's stupid.
Yeah, and then, like, why can't we get out of the house? Because I'm crazy and have this panic room thing. And, you know, we'll come back to that more with, like, the bombs and the missiles and everything. But, yeah, I guess I appreciated them attempting, even in these ludicrous ways, to give some explanation for things.
They were explanations.
Yeah.
Kind of had to take them.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about her and Chad. And so you're talking about things being revitalized and movement of characters from back from... Or right. earlier episodes.
Yeah.
Did you like sort of this reconnection between the two of them, Chad and Chanel? Or
let me put it this way. I was getting really sick of... Man, I'm saying that a lot of how I was getting sick of things.
Yeah.
Which makes it sound way worse than it actually was. But they kept having it of, she's desperate for Chad. He denies her. Repeat.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, she still was desperate for Chad.
Yeah.
But... She said, you have to stop sleeping with other people. You need to be monogamous with me.
Yeah.
That was great. Like, it was her having a... Yes, she was still like, oh, I love you. Oh, let me be yours. And that caused some comedic stuff of like, oh, ha ha. She's way more into him than
yeah.
he is into her. But at the end of the day, they got back together.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever silly reason.
And he pinky pledged.
And he pinky pledged. Not promised, because when you're in a frat or sorority, you pledge. You pinky pledge.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's actually true. And she made him promise that he's going to be monogamous. Movement. Interesting yeah. relationship development. More of a love triangle for future episodes.
Well, great. on the flip side, so... It's funny, this is the first time for me where I was more on board with Chanel in these scenes than I was with Chad, because I agree with you that as far as how Chanel was handled during all this, I thought made sense, was a little bit of character movement, as much as someone like Chanel can have character movement, but Chad just seemed kind of random that he's, like, he just never really seemed to be that into her, and yes, they have the intervention thing, which we'll come back to, but just generally, the fact that he'd agree to commit to her, and that he was suddenly, like, reacting the way he was to Hester, which we'll get to Hester in 5 seconds, it just seemed a little bit like a weird 180 for me, and I wasn't totally on board, even though a lot of it was really funny, and so I was on board as far as watching it, but, like, it did not, like, it's just, it's hard to even... Because the characters are so crazy and arbitrary and whatever, it's hard to be like, this person's acting out of character, but, like, you just kind of, it's, like, almost like you have to accept whatever they say, but...
Right. Yeah, it was, I do agree that from Chad's end, it was out of character, but I feel like they explained it enough to be satisfying of like, A, this is an intervention for you, but also B, like, he did say like, oh, you're so hot. And your dad has a lot of money. Yeah. So it's still showing his shallow side. It wasn't like, for the better. I mean, we'll get back to this more afterwards. Because, again, love triangle. But this gives another aspect to the story, which makes me more interested, which actually contributes more to my theories on who might be involved with the Red Devil in this case, like how this will how this will play into the Red Devil storyline eventually.
Okay, I'm interested to see what your thoughts are there. But let's talk a little bit with the Red Devil scene as with Chanel as far as her protecting Zayday. And what do you take away from that? Is, you know, do you think you just completely buy what she said as far as, you know, it was just self-preservation? Do you think she actually, later on she says, I actually kind of like Zayday now. Do you agree with that? Or, like, is there a bigger plan going? Like, what is going on?
I don't know. Yeah. Like, this is just a thing of maybe they're making Chanel into a good person too quickly.
Good person.
Good person is too far a stretch.
Yeah.
But I think the line of her saying, like, no, I like her now.
He said kind of. I kind of like Zayday now.
Yeah, but I have... there's no reason for her to like Zayday now.
Yeah, there was, there was
they
nothing...
They didn't actually give her a reason to like Zayday.
It would be more like... It would make more sense if Zayday saved her.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it was nice. It was... I didn't really have a problem with it. I'm glad it happened. I just didn't believe it much. That's what I'm saying. That part was too fast.
Well, to me, this is one of those things where I think we're going to get more... It's going to be more explanation. They're going to come back to this and make and make our minor quibbles here make sense. Now they've earned me being just like, I'm not exactly sure what's up with this. I feel like they'll explain it. So I'm going to...
I agree. I agree. They're definitely going to explain it. They're going to make it necessary and relevant.
And I actually,
to get along.
At minimum, I do buy that she would try to hit the Red Devil and save Zayday just because, you know, more people and another president. Again, like you said, like another target instead of just having that target get killed and then she's next.
Right. If anything, there's that of just, it's too early. I just got her to be taking the flak for this. But were you disappointed that, I don't know, would you have tried to unmask the devil in that instance?
At that moment?
Or were
they keep
think
having moments
like
that where the devil gets knocked over and people just run away.
I mean, like, part of me understands, like, they don't know how out he is. But if you stand there at the end of the tunnel...
You know what I would do?
The devil has two options of where they can go, back in the house or out of this tunnel.
I think if I were in this situation, I would try to kick him in the head in such a way the mask would come off, so therefore I would both be kicking him in the head and seeing who he is.
Right, or maybe not just in the head, but also just, like, in the side. Like, that's a super painful area. You know, crotch shots, they suck for everybody, but especially if, in all likelihood, it's a dude, that'll
if
knock
we were the
out.
Kind of podcast where I just named the episodes just random things, I would call us Episode 6, Crotch Shots Hurt for Everybody.
This hurts me more than it hurts you. I don't know why it's making a crunching sound. I regret that.
Let's end out the Chanel bit just by saying she got everybody pink nunchucks, and it's like, we're going to take the fight to him. okay, Chanel, sure. I don't know.
if anyone tried, I really hope we have a scene. Maybe not in the next episode, or probably in the next episode, but soon, where someone tries to use the nunchucks on the Red Devil and then, like, completely fails. And then, like, a few episodes later, someone tries to redeem themselves with the nunchucks and, like, kicks ass.
Well,
I really want to see that.
I'm impressed that the show didn't take the super easy joke and let Sam live long enough to actually be really good with nunchucks. Because that seems like the kind of joke that they would do.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But
I didn't even think of that. But, yeah, I'm glad they didn't do that. Oh, God, that scene was so cheesy.
Yeah.
Also, where do you get pink nunchucks.
Well, this show seems to like sort of combining the, you know, the heightened girliness with this violence thing. I mean, you know, they have the pink, oh, yeah, the pink, no, taser.
I want to ask for a friend.
Would you want some pink nunchucks?
No, I can't be trusted. I am clumsy.
Clearly, the Red Devil. Red Devil basically can use an axe like a nunchuck, so you better not let him.
Cool. Yeah. Well, but didn't Chanel number 5 not call them nunchucks? Didn't she call them something else?
Nunchaku or something like that?
I think she did, which is like way more culturally like correct. You know,
is it correct? I don't really know enough to know if she's right or if it's a joke that she
brought.
But it
didn't feel like a joke, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it did not. No,
it felt like she was being respectful. Potentially,
if you're hip to Japanese culture / weapons, let us know if we're the insensitive ones. And Abigail Breslin beat us
up. No, I just googled this. It is technically nunchaku.
Okay,
and then in quotes it says nunchucks.
Okay.
But maybe it's equally okay to say both. But I just, wow, okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe this all ties into my bigger Chanel number 5 theory. We'll get back to that.
What?
Let's talk about Hester.
Ooh, yeah, okay, let's talk about Hester. Lea Michele.
Now that we're 30 minutes in and have talked about one person.
Oh my god, we are terrible at this whole podcasting thing. Well, I'll speak for myself.
So, she hits on... We sort of already talked about this a little bit as far as she hits on Kat again, and this time she does not really get the same response that we've come to know and love as we shipped Chester.
I miss Chester.
I did like the Space Mountain line. Thought that was funny. his reasoning is not... It makes sense as far as he's torn between how crazy it would make it really good sex, but it would also make him frightened.
he's going to wake up with his penis in a jar.
Yeah, and post what they experienced in the haunted house. I don't really blame him.
I think it was... Again, I'm happy that this is now more of a love triangle or stalker love triangle, but it was really weird having Hester be so desperate for Chad now.
Yeah, because she seems so... It's one of the... Yeah, it's a lot of switching between people seeming so in control and then suddenly losing all their...
Exactly.
I think Hester was one of the most poorly handled parts of this episode, actually, just because... So we finally also get this reveal of Chanel knows that basically Hester is a backstabber and is the one who put her in the police, and that, like, I'm glad we kind of just like got past that, but at the same time, like, that was really anticlimactic.
It should have been a bigger deal.
Yeah, like, I wanted her to like throw her off a building or something.
Yeah, like, instead of yelling at number 5, just go yell at Hester.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I don't believe that would be... If Chanel found out that her underling pledge that she helped get prettier was hitting on Chad, like, Chanel should be a lot more reactionary than that. Mm-hmm. And I just don't believe that the episode would end with them dancing all together. Like, that's strange.
Yeah, I mean, another thing is, like, all of the other Chanels have slept with Chad.
Yeah.
And none of them are obsessed with, like, or that desperate. Like, they're like, we slept with Chad. Yeah, it was great. Or, like,
well,
not great.
So she hasn't slept with Chad yet, though.
No, I know. But, like, so many people have slept with Chad, and they're like, yeah, we do it. Yeah, it's a thing. And then it was just kind of like, aw, poor Chanel number 1. Like, she's so desperate for this, like, douchebag.
Yeah.
And now... Yes, she's still desperate, but now having another character desperate for him is just like, but I don't buy it. People use him as much as he uses them. That's what's so enjoyable.
Yeah,
about
like if
it.
Anything, I would expect for Hester to, once she's been denied him, want to destroy him out of anger, like not like be like, I'm not going to take this from anyone, not be like, oh, it didn't work. Like,
well, I wouldn't count out that still happens.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's something that might still happen. So
let's talk about the fact that she found Sam's body and do you think that means anything? And
no, yeah. Honestly, I don't. No, I don't think they made a big deal of like, you're the one who found him. But we saw that the Red Devil killed her. I don't think that Hester is one of the Red Devils. Or do I? Have I considered that yet?
I feel like we've vaguely talked about it, and that we kind of discounted it based on her reaction to the haunted house.
Oh, yeah.
I don't...
I was like, why don't I consider her a Red Devil again?
At the same time, she could have, like, set up all that haunted house stuff and then pretended that she got a text from the Red... You know, like, she's definitely a possibility. She's not high on my list, but I'm not, like, I wouldn't be surprised... But she's one of those people who seems almost too obvious in some ways. But again...
Now everybody seems obvious. Dan, they've called out everybody. Yeah. We've talked about that. Like, who haven't... counting people off, but they've called out so many people.
Yeah.
So that's not like... You're right. We can't count her out anymore.
No.
But I don't know. It's not a red flag for me.
I mean, as far as thinking about how, you know, movies and TV shows work with killers is... You often also get a bigger name actor to be the one revealed to be the killer. And Lea Michele actually playing a killer, like, I can understand that being a thing that they'd want to do, potentially.
Or for her to want to do it being fun for her.
Yeah. So I don't think it can be counted out, but she is not... I have two other people that I'm much more suspicious of than I am of her, which we'll come to.
Ooh.
Ooh.
We'll come to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, way less dramatic than.
So you also want to throw in when we talk about Hester, just the ending of the episode.
Yeah, and... it was so, like, she's like, Kappa's forever. What was it that she said?
Something like that.
Something like that. She's holding the nunchucks and it's an aerial shot and she's pointing them in the air. And
cut to the devil walking them.
There's dancing and they're happy and yeah, we survived. And yeah, like you said.
Yeah.
The Red Devil is watching them dramatically through the window in freaking broad daylight when now they've posted police out the door,
maybe.
Allegedly. We'll see.
And
the Red Devil's just sitting there in the Red Devil costume.
I mean, I think it is supposed to be sort of meta in that they throw out a line about, like, this is so wonderfully random or something.
Yeah, that was exactly it. That it was like, this is supposed to be campy.
Yeah, it just seemed odd.
It was odd. It was a tonally odd thing to do. I wasn't super happy with it.
Was it tonally odd or totally odd?
Both.
Okay. Let's talk about Chad, who is the star, the belle of the ball.
Chad would love to be the belle of the ball. Oh, now I'm imagining him in, like, a debutante dress with, like, those long elbow-length gloves, and he'll be so pretty. He has a tiara.
Okay. Chad is totally my MVP for this episode, and
Absolutely. Most
episodes, because Chad is amazing.
I'm not sick of Chad yet, Dan. I'm not sick of Chad.
I mean, from the beginning where he starts with, suck it, keep going,
Come
baby.
On, baby, don't stop now. Oh, my God. God, and I cried.
Immediately go into this really funny thing about how Caulfield isn't handy. No one can say Caulfield's handicapped because he can suck it.
You sucked 4 liters of canned spaghetti.
Oh my God. That was a nice, fun bit of satire that I definitely enjoyed.
What was that satire of?
Well, I think it's supposed to be, is it just poking fun? I don't know if you call it satire, if you just call it, it's poking fun at the whole idea of, like, people being like, you're not handicapped, you can do anything anybody else can do.
Oh, and that I would agree with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you're perfectly normal. It's like, this is not a normal thing.
No.
Can we just acknowledge that for a second, fellas?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. And I am, this episode actually made me glad that Caulfield made it the other episode, you know. Just
yeah,
kind of a couple
I'm glad
fun
we had
things.
A few more moments. Oh, it was so good. Yeah, I'm so close.
So
that was pushing for me of like, no, that's too ridiculous. But no.
What did you think of this whole intervention because he has sex with too many old people and people think it's weird?
I like how he was like, I thought that it was great, but... I can see how having, like, did he say porking again?
Yeah, he said porking. Porking the popular girls.
Porking
is
popular
good
girls
for everybody. Yeah, no, he says, like, good for all of my brothers or something like that.
Here's the thing. We really loved how Chad was a character without being on screen last episode.
Yeah.
And this episode, them connecting that of him acknowledging, like, yeah, I get with the dean, and yeah, I get with Denise, the security officer. That's, like... amazing. It was, oh, I just man. Loved seeing his opinion on that and them definitely. Having an excuse for him to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe now it'll be an element. Do you think it'll be an element to the storyline?
Potentially. I mean, I'm going to give like a really weird side conspiracy theory here, which is just that I'm just going to jump down to Earl Grey a little bit here. So Earl Grey is the one who brings up the intervention. And if we're assuming Earl Grey might be somehow involved, which he seems like one of the people that it kind of makes sense that he might be.
Right.
Then, A, the fact that he brings up the intervention is, does he want him with Chanel for a reason? I wouldn't think that wouldn't be totally crazy in my mind. Also, the fact that he's the one who sends them all on the panty raid, that he wants all of them over, especially because the two of the people that end up getting killed are Caulfield and Roger, that, like, does he want them over there for these reasons? I definitely think Earl Grey is very suspicious.
I think so, too, because it's also a thing of hierarchy. Like, Chad is definitely in charge, and then it was Boone as his right hand.
Yeah.
And then it was Caulfield.
Yeah.
And then Roger and Dodger were also very vocal.
Yeah, and we had his whole thing about how he wanted to be president.
Exactly. We know that Earl Grey wants to be in charge.
Yeah.
And he wants to be in charge with Zayday.
And you could even go super crazy with it and say that Zayday was kidnapped so that he could escape and so he could become president. I mean, I don't think that's what that is, but like...
Not maybe. It could
you never
be.
Know.
I wouldn't count it out. But yeah, you definitely bring up a good point of how Earl Grey fits into it. So anyway, they convince Chad that no, he should go back with Chanel and with Popular Girl.
Yeah. And I guess wrote down a couple different lines that I liked here. I mean, I liked him saying, I loved you too, sorta, after he explains to Chanel that he slept with Denise and with the Dean.
And so makes her take back of like, I'll be yours forever.
Yeah, at the window. I thought that was a really funny moment.
Of like, damsel in distress, but not so in distress that he won't negotiate.
And her being like, I'll be yours for the amount of time that you
deem appropriate.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But before that, so they get there, they're going on the panty raid, they bring a ladder.
Yeah. And this whole thing back and forth about the bomb-proof windows and
upstairs.
Like, yeah, well, there aren't any upstairs because what would you have a flying bomb? Why would you have bomb-proof upstairs windows and like a missile? And then he's like, well, I doubt the Red Devil would have a missile. And so like he's being an idiot,
but
also
reasonable.
Correct.
I love it. He's so weirdly logical despite being stupid as hell.
It's really funny.
It's so interesting. Well,
I think part of what makes him really fresh to me is there are so many characters on so many shows that are like the idiot guy who's stupid, and it's just like such a different take on that. Like, I don't even really like he is stupid, but like I don't think of him as stupid. I don't like he's just a different kind of intelligence. Like,
yeah, he's definitely not book smart, I'll tell you that, but what was it? Ghetto street smart?
Yeah. On the ghetto, you call them out.
Oh, gosh, that was so good. So, the Red Devil comes, and they all climb up the ladder, except...
For Caulfield.
Caulfield.
Are we going to jump down to Caulfield dying? I guess that makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, climb, you armless bastard.
Climb.
Yeah. really
Chad
funny.
Is throwing things at the Red Devil to try to... distract him, including the only cell phone, which you mentioned before.
I did, and him also being like, the only thing we can do to respect him is the, you know, give him the
watch
dignity
him
of watching him die. I do want to, like, while we're talking about Caulfield dying, first of all, I thought it was really funny and just like crazy and out of the top, and but at the same time, I think an important clue that this is probably Boone is that he uses the axe basically like a golf club when he chops off his head.
I was thinking the same thing. It's like, he chops off Caulfield's head in that way.
Yeah.
That makes it go, like, I know golf terms, but it knocks it away in a swing that looks very much like a golf swing, and the arc of his head is like a golf ball.
Yeah. And I think it's also interesting because you would assume that Boone was also the one who originally cut off Caulfield's arms because he wasn't going to kill Chad, and so this is sort of, he must really have it out for poor Caulfield.
Well, my thing here is that I think that this Red Devil, and I think we only saw one Red Devil this episode.
Interesting.
That's my belief, that this Red Devil is physically strong.
Mm.
And that is a reflection. I think the strongest Red Devil, arguably, or the one that we've seen is definitely physically strong, is Boone. We saw him exercising.
That's true. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know that I agree with you that we've only seen one this episode, but I definitely think Boone is one of them. And that's definitely an important point, that he is physically strong, yeah.
I think we only saw... but I don't know. I'm not saying there was only one Red Devil there. Yeah. I think there was only one Red Devil in the costume in the house at a time.
Hmm. I mean, because you think about the nail gun doesn't exactly take a lot of strength. But at the same time, I don't think we should put too much stock into who's the strong one, because this is, like, kind of a horror movie staple. That, like, whoever, like, do you really think that the killer in MTV Scream was actually, like, that person was actually strong enough to do a lot of the things we saw the killer do?
Well, here's the thing. Going back to what we were talking about with, like, trusting the writing to make sense and the storyline to make sense, I think that that's a perfectly valid thing to expect from this show now. Whereas in Scream, it was like, let's be tropey, ha ha ha, but not too tropey. So, like...
But at the same time, this is also a show where even if the character was strong, he still wouldn't be able to do most of the crazy over-the-top things that he does anyway. And it's such a surrealist world that I wouldn't be like, oh, this makes no sense that, you know, Hester couldn't do this. She's not strong enough, because no one could, like, do half the things that the Red Devil does.
I suppose. Well, I thought it... That's my theory as it stands now.
No, I mean, I think that's very valid. I just don't think it's 100% has to be that. But,
right. So, anyway, they quickly recover from Caulfield's death.
The next big thing I want to just jump to, you know, I don't want to go over every little thing, is I really, really liked the sort of debate about truth or dare.
That was so good.
So funny.
Oh, my gosh.
The game isn't truth or dare or lie, and he just wouldn't...
That was so funny as a line.
Oh, man.
And again, we're just talking about, like, remember how he has common sense, but he just... This immediately subverts his ability to have common sense, like, but no, you can't lie. And Jennifer, who I historically don't like...
Yeah.
Being like, but...
Yeah, in this context, I actually really liked her being the logical one against him. I also thought it was funny... Because, like, originally, I thought, like, when the scene starts and Zayday's, like, explaining how truth or dare works, I'm like, it's pretty simple. And then Chad later on is like, this is pretty damn simple. There's only two options.
Well, the way Zayday puts it is, like, you choose dare, then we're going to be suspicious of you.
Yeah.
But Chad takes it, like, well, if you choose dare, that means it's because you can't tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, I also think it's hilarious that, like, not just Chad, but also later we end up seeing Sam just does agree with him, and, like, I have to say the truth, it's true.
Right? Like, why, what, in what world does this show exist? Anyway.
Are you at all sad, just as a quick little aside, that we didn't get any other sort of reveals out of the truth or dare, that we basically just got? I feel like there should have been one other thing that, like, we hadn't known before.
Yeah, actually. I was thinking that. But maybe it's because they are, like, already over full in this episode, and they were going for so many things. But again, I really wish that they could have used this opportunity to refocus on Zayday.
I think it would have been interesting to have this the whole truth or dare thing backfire, and for it to come out to everybody that maybe Grace is the baby, and I especially because that was sort of just dropped.
Do you still think she's the baby?
Well, no, not that she is the baby, but, like, she could be the baby, and they would all assume, oh, it's Grace. Like, nobody's assuming. It's, like, it's funny that nobody's, like, really pointing at Grace. You're saying everybody's being pointed at, but, like, in their world, Grace is one of the only people who isn't really being pointed at that much. And I think that would be interesting. And I think that from Grace's perspective, why wouldn't Grace still be worrying about this? Like, nothing has really been confirmed in any, you know, there's been any new information. So, I think it could come back up again, but... Even if I'm like, even as a viewer outside of their world, I don't think it makes sense that she'll be the kid, but in their world, that you would talk about it more.
I suppose. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get that. Well, I didn't really have too much of a problem with it, but.
I also enjoyed Chad going on about, like, stop whining about Dodger. Like, he was holding you back. Yeah.
And it was a great counterpart to Chanel last episode, yeah. to number five, being like, would you stop? Like, nope, who cares? Even though it happened. And Chanel number five being like, but it just happened a couple hours ago. I'm a little sensitive to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and him to the reveal of number three.
Yeah.
Of earmuffs, dad being Charles Manson, being like, if you're not the killer, you probably should be, because, you know, give it a shot. You're probably going to be really good at it.
That was honestly maybe my favorite line of the episode. I just was not expecting that. It just delivered so well. I thought it was really funny.
It was just yeah. the kind of thing of, like, instead of saying to it straight of, like, we can't trust you, your dad yeah. is a killer, him being like, no, you should give it a shot, because
yeah, like his you'll be good at it is just so funny. And really, I just really like Glenn Powell. I think he's doing a really great job with Chad, and
I haven't seen him in enough stuff.
Yeah, no,
I'm gonna be keeping an eye out for him.
Oh man, so funny. I feel like I've said this before, but if anybody can survive to season two, can it please be Chad?
Please, everybody who's writing for the show and maybe listening, all zero of you. Please.
All right, so the last Chad thing I want to throw in is just that because last week we were talking about, like, oh, everybody should know there's two Red Devils because of, like, the whole Backstreet Boys scene. And back in my head, I was thinking, like, yes, Chad knows, but, like, has he told Grace or Pete or what, you know? But so I'm glad that now, like, it's been outlined for everybody. There's more than one Red Devil. Like, that's important to mention to everybody, I think, mm-hmm. so. Shall we just go to Grace?
Yeah, let's move on to Grace, who's technically our second build of the show, who continues to be pretty boring.
Yeah, and honestly, kind of really unintelligent in this episode, honestly. Like, I hated her whole line about, oh, it's probably my dad who locked us in.
That was the dumbest thing.
Like, even like earmuffs and Chanel thought it was stupid.
Like, what in the world, Grace? How did you get into this school?
Oh, like, my God. Like, that's your assumption. Not the killer who wants to kill all of us is the one. Like, I don't...
She had a few stupid lines. Yeah. I mean, her whole thing of being like, oh, no, we should leave the school, when she was with Zayday.
Yeah.
When she was like, we should leave the school, out of the blue.
Yeah. Well, it was right after Caulfield died, technically, but...
Was it?
Yeah, it was the scene right after.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was right after, but still, they're already locked in the house.
Yeah, no, and they've already,
the Red Devil's already there.
I mean, okay, so, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, if he, like, followed through with this and be like, I finally realize how crazy this is, we should leave, I'm gonna leave, then okay, maybe she's actually being intelligent, but the fact that Zeta is, like, blah, 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 like, bravery, and she's like, okay, I'm gonna be a sister now, and I'm gonna stay, like, it just makes her seem even less intelligent than the rest of them. Like,
absolutely.
The fact that she's able to think logically and then is like, oh, well.
Like, never mind. Like, 30 seconds later, she just changes her mind about that. I didn't like it.
No, it's really stupid.
Because then in the very end, like, skipping forward, when Wes is like, no, I'm pulling you out.
Yeah.
When Wes shows up for all 30 seconds, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
I had no problem with that. Where he's like, no, we're leaving. Now Grace is like, no, I won't leave my sisters. Like, we made it through.
Yeah, no, it was
tonight.
Really,
blah, blah, blah.
Really dumb. And also, even the fact that they bring up Pete is studying or whatever. He's like, oh, he's studying. He said he was studying. And I'm just like, and then he ends up, like, he sees his text at the end and is sort of suspicious, and I'm like, we've already been through this, and we as the audience pretty much know that it's not Pete, because we saw him attacked.
Exactly.
So it's not even interesting, and I really think they mishandled Grace.
They really did, because, I mean, remember how we were like, oh, Grace so quickly accepts that it's actually not Pete, because then he says, like, can you commit to one or the other, please?
Yeah.
And you already committed to her not being suspicious of him, and I moved on with her.
Yeah.
And now again, it's just like, I think it's the flaw of actually having too small a cast.
Yeah, I think that I'm trying to think if she's still a suspect on my list. I'm not completely counting her out, and nobody else is really pointing fingers at her, so I guess it's still possible, but it's not, again, not high on my list. She's around where Hester is on my list. But.
Right. I mean, she's saying things that could still be reasonable for someone to misdirect attention, but some of the actions she's taken that we as viewers, where she's alone, which have actually decreased. Like, we've seen her less and less in standalone moments than most other characters. Yeah.
And it's also, I think it was interesting that Chanel or someone called her Nancy Drew, because honestly, she's just like the reporter investigator on this. She's not like, she has no real stake in this other than I care about these people now for some reason.
Well, and her thing is like, well, now I'm super connected as my mother was. Yeah. I still don't really see the sisterhood between these girls.
And I mean,
what made that last scene so cheesy of like, we're sisters. Yeah. It's like, y'all hate each other mostly.
Yeah. It's not like they all actually like teamed up together and like defeated him or got away from him from some like joint attack or something. It was just silly. And like, also, like, I always thought it was just like kind of a lame backstory that she wants to be in a sorority for this reason with her mom or whatever. And after they called it out again here, like, after all this murder is happening, I'm like, oh god, like, at least Chanel agreed with me.
Yeah. And another thing was saying, like, I'm pulling you out, and then her being like, no, you can't, there's nothing you can do. I'm sorry. I don't know how parenting works in this universe, because in this world, at least for most people, if your parent says, no, I'm taking you out of school, I get it, she's 18, technically, legally.
Well, think about money also.
But that's exactly it. Yeah. Like, what, you're going to pay for it yourself? And maybe it's the kind of thing of, like, no good parent would actually, or, like, no considerate parent would threaten that.
Yeah.
But
you would if there were murders.
But, you know, you would. I think any normal parent would be like, I am not going to support you financially in any way while you stay there.
Since we're talking about this, I also want to just jump down to Dean Munch, because she just has about 5 seconds where she's like, yay, now we know it's all about Capital, which I feel like we already knew that anyway, but so I can just...
Well, for her, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, but so she's like, oh, so we can tell everybody else that they're safe and they can resume normal activities. So isn't this also, instead of just posting police outside, which at least they're doing that, but isn't this when you say, okay, it's all about Capital, let's close this chapter of the Soror?
Yeah, exactly. That's when you say, no, that's it. But maybe it's a perspective like, well, we still can keep you together, and now we don't have to put an individual officer on each of you. Which, by the way, they would still probably have to do, because they would still have to be going to classes and extracurriculars and things like that. Like, also, is this their only extracurricular? Like, bullshit use of your time, girls.
Also, I kind of think that, like, at this point, you wouldn't keep going to class. You would stay inside at the sorority, surrounded by police, until they found the killer.
Well, so, this has all happened in less than, in 48 hours. Her saying, this campus is closed, and Halloween is canceled, and there's a curfew, to saying, oh, wait, now we really do know, actually. Well, no, let me rewind. Her saying, we don't actually know that you girls are being targeted.
Yeah.
Because there was this random lady. There was Coney.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything? Then her saying, no, we're closing the campus, we're canceling Halloween. Then her saying, no, it's just about you guys, actually.
Oh,
now we're
my.
Putting a police detail on you, and we're opening the campus up, and classes can start again.
I mean, at this point, I kind of want Munch to be one of the Red Devils, because otherwise, she's just an idiot.
I think they're just trying to make the evils of school university administration.
Yeah.
You know, like, these people are in their own way Red Devils.
I want to jump down to Zayday, because Zayday, to me, is super suspicious in this episode.
I know.
Her first act as president is proposed they lock all of themselves in together alone at night.
For a slumber party.
Yeah, that seems
which is
like something.
Big trope? People dying at slumber parties? Bigger than lesbianism and truth or dare, if you ask me.
Yeah, and then
not really.
She, like, then she wants Grace to stay and says all that bullshit stuff. And then she also backs her up with Wes so that Grace stays. The only other thing, the only thing against her being one of them Red Devils is that she also gets attacked.
She gets attacked. I was just about to say that, but she was attacked by one of the Red Devils.
Yeah. I am still very suspicious of Zayday, honestly. I think that the way she got away last week and that whole explanation seems fishy, and I don't know what's going on, but I don't really trust her. And especially, I feel like they're trying, just by having Denise say it over and over again, where, like, we're supposed to just discount her because, oh, Denise is being stupid, but I wouldn't be surprised if Denise was proven right, and that was the, you know...
I think that you had an interesting theory last week where there are multiple Red Devils. Like, there are so many of the Red Devils, and it could be that she's her own thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she's still a murderer or doing something suspicious. Reason free from that entire plot line.
Well, also, so we spent a while last week talking about, like, who were the two people that were at the Backstreet Boys thing. Mm-hmm. Because we knew Earl Grey and Chad and everybody were there, and we knew where Gigi was, and, you know, all that stuff. And so, I mean, honestly, we saw Zayday practicing with a chainsaw, and then we saw Zayday leave. And Zayday could easily have been the other Red Devil in that situation.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know.
Yeah, but...
I'm very interested to see where her character goes. I liked her character development in this episode as a person of suspicion and as a person with...
I mean, if she isn't a person of suspicion, she's a person of stupidity.
Right, which would be okay, too.
I suppose.
I don't know how to put this, but she made the kind of choices that any character would make. Like, she didn't feel secondary.
Yeah.
Even though she's the secondary president, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she felt like she had agency.
Yeah, I'll give you... Oh, definitely, yeah. I just think
that's,
she was...
That's actually what I was trying to say.
Stupidity,
she felt like she had
agency.
But agency nonetheless.
Yeah, I'll give you that, yes. I like the amount that she was in the episode and what she was doing, certainly.
Right.
I'm going to try to move us along because we're already an hour. Let's talk about earmuffs. Earmuffs had a big part in this episode. Did you like that they actually went down the lesbian rabbit hole? You know, I almost kind of want to go back and rewatch those earlier scenes with her and Sam, because it did almost seem like out of nowhere, but...
I agree.
Yeah.
I actually would have enjoyed it more if they were platonic, but I guess it's its own thing of, like, giving it a reasonable excuse for why Sam... could be away from number three,
yeah,
and for her to be killed, and now number three has lost her ally buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I also liked that she, you know, the sort of the, one of the ending lines from Earmuffs, as far as, you know, I'm in love with love, I'm not a lesbian, you know. I think that was interesting, and, you know, adds another layer to the character. And we also got all this really funny stuff about, like, oh, you know, all my past with sex has gone to dark places. You know, this guy obsessed with my ears, and that's why I have to wear these earmuffs, and I don't know how to feel anything, and all that stuff I thought was really good material that added to her character. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that whole thing of how I pretend to be disinterested, but actually I realize that I just don't think I am capable of being interested.
Yeah, that was,
it was
funny.
It was good. I really like her deadpan delivery. It's really different. It's funny.
Mm.
I had no real problem with her character.
Now, is she on your suspect list at all?
No.
I don't think she's really on my suspect list either.
I just don't think I would find it interesting if she was, because I find her more interesting as this person.
Yeah, I agree. I think that she's also another one that I wouldn't mind seeing continue on to another season.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy watching her. I like that she actually kind of comes away with character development, as far as, like, next time I'm just going to tell the person that I love them and learn something from this. I did think that the ending... So she ends up with this conversation with Shina number 5 and sort of, like, forms this pact of, you know, I'm going, like, we're going to outlive Chanel no matter what we have to do.
Right.
Seems random for earmuffs to say.
Because she likes, or if not likes, at least respects Chanel number 1's position.
Yeah.
And
so that seemed a little out of nowhere.
Yeah.
For earmuffs, but okay. Yeah. I mean, I understand wanting to survive, to be one of, you know, outlive her anyway, like not wanting to die, but
I mean, she respects her somewhat, but she still slept with Chad at one point. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of
that's
thing
true,
where it's
like
she still puts herself first, which I think is in line with her character.
Yeah.
Oh, can I just say, did we mention that we now know why she wears earmuffs?
Yeah, I just said that a guy became obsessed with her ears.
That was
well,
the guy.
I'm trying to remember. Did she say that the guy like was like sent to jail or like I'm trying to like is it possible that Chad is that guy?
Oh,
I'm trying to remember exactly how she worded it.
Whoa.
I don't think it's Chad.
I don't
but
think just, so. But
yeah.
Huh.
Just the fact that she sort of ran through the people that she slept with, and Chad wasn't really brought up again, I thought. And especially because she was like, if I love someone, it drives them crazy or whatever, and Chad wasn't really brought up is sort of an interesting thing. But
being the crazy one. Or And I feel like, if anything, she would have disclosed that to Sam.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so do we want to talk a little bit more about Sam's death, you know, the
well,
fact that
she knew who the killer was.
Yeah.
Didn't she say, like, I thought it was you?
Yeah, something like that.
I thought
like
it
that.
Might be you. And she offers, like, no, don't do it. I can help you.
Yeah. So, okay. So this is part of why I'm like, well, maybe it isn't Boone. Maybe Boone isn't the only one in the house. Unless, like, people have said before, like, that they have a connection because maybe they've gone to LGBTQ things together. But otherwise, it kind of makes me think that maybe it's somebody else and not Boone who killed her.
I suppose, but that whole thing could line up with anybody. They've made so many people suspicious that she could easily have said that, like, I suspected it was you, because you can suspect anybody. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
She also mentioned how, like, in the bathroom when she was with earmuffs and that whole exchange of, like, if I could feel anything, I'd be crying right now, that whole thing. When she, meaning Sam, is like, oh, I was practicing looking disinterested.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she's in the bathtub getting thwacked in the head against the bathtub, and then she doesn't fight back at all, and her delivery is so wooden, I'm just like, maybe this actress isn't very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't really like that scene.
I think it was supposed to be that was her character and that was the style they were going for. When their style is so weird, I can understand where you're coming from, and it makes it hard to tell if the person's acting badly or being directed to act that way.
Right.
I don't really know.
Well, I think that they, on purpose, found an actress who's good at being disinterested. Like, I'm happy. I didn't realize that was, like, I had no problem with that, and I thought her acting was good up till that scene.
Yeah.
And then to actually write it so that she doesn't fight back at all. Okay, that's not in the actress's hands.
Well, she gets her head smacked really quickly, and then she's out of it.
I don't know. Well, that's the thing, that whole out of it thing. Like, I don't know if that was shown,
well,
like
when
demonstrated.
When you get your head smacked hard against this.
All I'm saying is, like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm just like, this is not. I didn't love the delivery. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's interesting because, honestly, my reaction was, I'm sad that we're losing this actress. I enjoyed this character and her portrayal of it, but.
Me too.
Yeah.
Up until that point I was like, oh.
I do want to talk about the fact that she's honestly kind of, like, the first actual character to die on the show. Like, I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I can think of, but, like, everybody else has just been, like, either really one note or just thrown in out of nowhere to be killed. Mm-hmm. I mean, the closest people I think we could say would be, like, Caulfield and Roger and Dodger, but they also,
well, Roger,
like,
and Dodger were a joke more so than Caulfield. Even more so than Caulfield.
I mean, and even they, like, did not have any sort of, like, actual, like, you know, plot line or whatever, and clearly Sam had the whole thing. I don't know. Enough people have died that I guess I won't be super annoyed. It is kind of lame to me that the first actual person that dies is the Asian lesbian and not any of the other people.
Who had more of an interesting potential storyline in terms of her relationships with other characters. Like, let me put it this way. Jennifer is less consequential to the storyline.
Yeah, no. Jennifer could easily have been killed, and I don't care about Jennifer.
But maybe, do you think you'd be complaining about, like, another inconsequential person, or would she have been consequential enough for you okay with it? Because Sam was consequential. That's the thing. Yeah, I was like, oh, they're killing her, but it feels like she still has so much more to do.
But I also think we're at the point where you could have easily killed Hester. You could have easily killed Abigail Breslin. Like,
no, I don't. Actually, Abigail Breslin, yeah, I would have been okay with her dying.
I think that would have been fine. I mean, honestly, I would have been fine with Hester dying, but I understand why you might not be. But
they just set up the love triangle.
I don't really think of it as a love triangle because I don't.
Chad's still attracted to her.
Yeah, but I don't know. To me, it's he made his choice pretty clearly. I mean, he can go back on it, sure, but it's not like it's a love triangle I'm invested in. It's a bunch of idiots.
No, no, I'm not saying I'm invested in it. I'm just saying that it's still something where they can leave it up for her becoming stalkerish. And,
I suppose.
I do think she won't make it until the last. I hope they kill her before the last three episodes, but she's third build.
Yeah, that's true.
It's Lea Michele. They had to convince her to do the show for some reason, and she was available for it. But anyway, I am sad that Sam died. Yeah. But I am satisfied that in terms of advertising, where they were saying, like, our deadliest episode yet, that they killed someone who we thought would still be of importance.
Yeah, I agree. So, I think it was a fun thing, and I'm glad they killed three people, you know, that was needed.
I like kind of that the killer had different methods of killing each person.
I agree.
So speaking of killing, let's move on to number five.
Yeah. So number five is actually the other person that I'm super suspicious of right now, because this whole, like, oh, woe is me sort of act, I think could very well be an act. And the fact that she runs out and leaves after the whole vagina teeth thing, where is she? What is she doing? Is she hiding, preparing to kill Sam? I think that that's very possible. Also, why did the killer not kill her?
That's exactly it. Where she's screaming like a maniac.
Yeah.
She's a difficult one for me because I oscillate between really being suspicious of her and being like, she's just being victimized by everybody.
Yeah. But like, that gives. Nobody... But think about that. She's probably been victimized since she came to the school. She has motive. Also, she's a legacy, so her mom could have been at the school in 95. And.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean. No, to be a legacy, you actually have to be a sister.
Yeah, my point is that her mom could have been a sister in 95 and be connected to the whole 95 thing.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying, like, she could be the bath baby.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No.
I'm just saying she can have a connection to the past. I mean, I don't think he's, like, the big person or, you know, but I think he could be one of the... Again, we have so many potential Red Devils
she
here.
She definitely could be. Yeah. I don't know. I'm really starting to get bored with Chanel attacking her still. Yeah. And the whole, like, now this whole vagina teeth thing.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
That was just weird and stupid. And
Well, that's the thing is, if you were Abigail Breslin and you were being asked to join the show and
I don't know why she decided to do this show.
That's what I'm saying. If your entirety of her role was just what we've been shown, I don't think she would be on the show. So that's why I feel like she is probably
has to have something more.
Yeah.
Because this is just like, you're just there to react to Emma Roberts.
Yeah. You're playing second fiddle to Emma Roberts. And she...
Barely second fiddle. There's so many... Like, well, directly. Because I'd say even Lea Michele has...
more to do, more fun to be had.
Yeah, and number three has more fun. It's like, I don't really see it if it's how it's fun for Abigail Breslin to have this part.
Who do you think is a more big name, Emma Roberts or Abigail Breslin?
Emma Roberts.
Because of what?
Because she's coming off of American Horror Story.
But Abigail Breslin has been in multiple big name blockbuster movies.
What was the last movie she was in?
I believe she was in Ender's Game, And she was in...
I thought that was Hailee Steinfeld.
Maybe. Maybe I'm mixing people. I do kind of want to check IMDb if you want to say anything about the next... Do you want to talk about, like, either Roger dying or something?
Yeah, I'll just say, like, yeah. Okay, Roger dies while they're having their 7 minutes in heaven, turns to hell.
Yeah.
So, the nail gun thing.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Like, why didn't the killer kill her? Why did he expend all of his nails into Roger's head? Oh, but I thought it was really funny what Roger was saying as he was being killed.
Yeah.
About, like, oh, but now no one will speak with me in my secret language that I had with Dodger.
Yeah.
That was funny. But also, why didn't she scream and warn Roger that the Red Devil was right behind him?
Yeah.
That was super suspicious.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to throw out a couple things that Abigail Breslin has been in recent memory. So, she was just in Final Girl. She was in Maggie with, Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was actually very critically acclaimed. She was she was in Ender's Game.
Oops. I didn't see it like most people who read the books.
She was in August Osage County. I mean, like, and I think she's just been in more things, even if it hasn't been recent, like Zombieland. It's a much bigger name movie than anything I can think of Emma Roberts being in. And obviously Little Miss Sunshine and everything. Like,
yes. So then you bring up an interesting point. Of maybe to the public, to the general viewing public, she's more of a draw than Emma Roberts.
I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe to the intended audience, Emma Roberts is a bigger name, I guess.
So that's where I'm coming from. Where I feel like people who like Murphy stuff, who have been watching American Horror Story, or who follow, like, maybe even, like, tabloids, because Emma Roberts, like, appears in those more.
Yeah.
A bit, whereas Abigail Breslin's more just of, like, a good actress who now is doing things that she, like, a mix of things for potentially the money, but also out of, like, interest to herself. And that's what makes me think that that's why she signed up for this show, even if her part takes a while to heat up, because it's interesting, and it's interesting to work with people like Falchuk and Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, it could also just easily be like, oh, I'm a fan of American Horror Story, this would probably be a fun thing to do, these are cool creators, fun thing to be a part of, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis is in it, Emma Roberts is in it, like, I can understand... She could just be what she is. I just don't believe it.
Also, another thing is that she hasn't done TV, really. She does movies. She's a movie star.
Yeah.
And now there are a lot of movie actors that are moving to TV because they feel like there are more storylines and interesting opportunities for them to be out of character cast.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another thing where she feels like this is a good way of putting her toe in the water. I don't know. I can't speak to that, but I'm...
There's also the other possibility as far as maybe she's not a Red Devil, but maybe she does eventually snap and try to kill Chanel. And, you know...
Would you find that interesting?
I wouldn't mind seeing that. It would be something different. I just don't want to see her be this always. Like, you know,
that's true. That's exactly it. That's true.
Yeah.
But part of me doesn't want her to snap because I'm like, but she's been accused of being a crazy person this entire time. And that makes me kind of uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
Just like, it's total gaslighting.
But that would cause someone to snap.
It would, but I don't want it to be like, oh, anyone who's in an abusive relationship who's being like verbally harassed by people, they're going to become a murderer.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe she should just leave this abusive scenario. And she kind of has that part of her of, like, the only reason I'm here is, as you said, she's a legacy. I wouldn't be here. But she also, I don't know. I liked her scene with earmuffs where she opened up and was vulnerable.
Yeah.
That was a nice side of her. Like, a new side of her, I should say. About her being like, they die, and what if no one will like me? What if no one? I'm nobody without this.
Yeah.
Without this sorority.
Let's jump to Jennifer. Do you have anything you want to say about Jennifer?
I really don't like to talk about Jennifer. Like, she's not funny to me. I'm okay with other people finding her funny. I have no problem with that. I'm not saying, like...
I actually liked the delivery of, after Lea Michele says that she tastes like wax, her saying, you taste good too. I thought the delivery was funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a good line. Well, for me, the highlight was her argument with Chad.
Yeah, definitely.
That was like, oh, great, they're doing interesting things with... Not interesting things, but they're giving her funny things to say. Like, she felt necessary. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
She felt necessary.
What, did you have any thoughts on the whole autism spectrum potential satire? I don't really know if what exactly it was going for there.
I don't really know either.
Yeah, I mean, is it almost saying, like, I guess maybe it's positive that it's saying don't assume that if someone's quirky, that means they're autistic.
And it, there's the whole thing again of the whole, like, being a jerk when anyone that's different from you must have a problem.
I think it honestly is also has a certain level of, like, we over-diagnose things in our current culture, I think it's aiming at.
Yeah, that could be it, too. I wouldn't have a problem with them saying, I mean, I just, again, I could see how people find it funny. I personally don't find it funny.
Yeah.
These two scenes.
I'm at least happy. I didn't mind the autism stuff because I like that he isn't just candles. At least there's
they
a little bit of...
They gave her something else. They gave her a reasonable side to herself. Well, they gave her the ants stuff, too.
Yeah,
But then they did that whole, like, you're wearing your pants backwards. And I was like, what's that supposed to
be?
Yeah,
that
of?
Was weird. I didn't like the pant thing. Because she does seem intelligent. She, like, everything we've seen of her has been intelligent. She's weird, but she's intelligent.
I don't see that as, like, oh, you're saying that people on the autism spectrum, and if she is, I'm not saying, like, she definitively is or whatever, but her saying, like, most people think I'm quirky, but now that we are in a culture of overdiagnosis, I'm not a Zooey Deschanel type. I'm a person with a thing, like, with a disability.
Yeah. Interesting.
So
also,
are they saying that people who are like that, who are potentially high functioning, like on the autism spectrum, that they can't dress themselves? Like, what?
Yeah,
what
it's
is
a
that
weird
connotation?
Part of it. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Like, I wish they could have just left that point and had a different joke.
Yeah,
if they did, one that made more sense.
Yeah, they could have just made a joke about the candle thing or about, you know, like, something else, like,
ants, even.
Yeah,
I would have
exactly.
liked to call back to that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess that's kind of, we already talked about Roger, and we talked about
we actually talked about the deaths. We were planning on talking about the deaths at the very end, but it made more sense to talk about them in relation to the ones who survived. So it was a very full episode, even though it was claustrophobic. Like, number 5 felt claustrophobic in a house that was, like, 14,000 square feet.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to get into a few tweets, but before we do, if you want to be part of the show, if you want to get your thoughts, your theories, your feedback heard, you can do that a few different ways. You can either email us at thescreamcast@gmail.com. You can go to thescreamcast.wordpress.com, which has a contact us thing right there, or you can follow us at ScreamPod on Twitter and send us a nice tweet. And it would also be swell of you if you left us an iTunes review. Who are we thanking this week?
So we're thanking Chungbro. He also listened to our podcast on the movie Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, after this week, Scream Queens is going on a week-long hiatus.
Yeah.
So after their trilogy. So next week, we're not going to have an episode on Scream Queens. So we're going to actually do another podcast on Scream 2.
Yeah. So, good timing, Scream Queens, going on break, thanks to baseball, and we can do our Scream 2 thing just in time for Halloween, which will be nice, and also not so far away that hopefully Olga still remembers what happened in Scream 1 a little bit.
I do. I don't have that terrible a memory.
All right, do you want to get into these tweets?
Yeah, sure. So, from @WooshDannyH, I would like to say, Chad and Earmuffs were the MVPs of the episode. Truly funny stuff by them. I agree completely. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. They're definitely my favorites for this episode and most episodes.
Yeah,
so.
I was about to say, never. I have never not been a fan of Chad.
Yeah. No, so good. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I had, like, I had that minor sort of be like, what are they doing with this character? But he almost never makes a joke, and I go, that was a bad joke. Like, you know.
Right.
Definitely never delivery-wise.
Right. Yeah. And I like the development of Earmuffs and her storyline.
Yeah,
maybe what, if she's going to, I'm wondering if she's going to have another romantic relationship this season. I kind of want to see that. I don't want it to be the end of her romantic relationships.
I mean, we still got plenty of episodes.
At least twice as many.
Yeah. So, it's interesting in that I'm just thinking, in a way, Earmuffs is also more of a protagonist than Grace is. Earmuffs has had more.
So right.
Earmuffs has had more interesting stuff and more of a journey than Grace has. It
just started later than Grace.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, why don't you read the next tweet?
All right, so at Pigtunia New. Okay, at Pigtunia New says, I'm thinking the dog in Ep 5 is simply part of the nod to Silence of the Lambs, i.e. Buffalo Bill's poodle Precious. Not a clue.
Okay, that so makes we thought sense it was to me.
I mean, I think it's both, though, because yeah. So I forgot about the whole dog. I have to rewalk Silence of the Lambs. It's been too long.
It really has.
I forgot about the dog thing. But, I mean, you don't just have that as an homage, I don't think. I assume you have another reason for, unless it's just that, like, the killer himself likes to do an homage to Silence of the Lambs, maybe? I don't know, but
I mean, Zayday did say that the killer dropped her down some nice lotions and yeah. things. That was...
And he did have the night vision goggles, so maybe, yeah. maybe he's a movie buff.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe, but I'm with you that I think it could be both.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the poodle's going to disappear. Again, I trust the writers now. I trust them to follow through on that. And
yeah,
that's really,
I agree.
That's all I've taken away so far from the show. So, I don't know, Dan, do you have anything else to say? Any last thoughts?
I was just trying to search through this to find a good quote to end on, and I haven't come up with one yet.
Suck it.
Thank you for listening, and as always, suck it.